I'm Steve Potter, and coming up later on Cityscape, Joan Lipkin of that Upbeat Theater Company will preview Briefs, which is a festival of short LGBT plays, and we're also going to talk to playwright Donald Miller and director Chris Limber. But first, we examine the ingredients that make a good recipe for a successful restaurant. Here for our monthly soundbite segment, in partnership with Sauce Magazine, executive editor Lagaya Figueres, who has brought with her today restaurant owners Chris Summers and Mike Randolph. Hello to all of you.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Lagaya, obviously, there's risk involved in opening any new business, but the restaurant business in particular seems to be especially challenging.
It is especially challenging. When I was chatting before with someone about this, and we were talking about all the different reasons why restaurants can close, and the list is so long. I mean, I think that first off the bat, you got to fill those seats. And when you're not filling those seats, you're already getting into financial problems. And I think that we'll address a little bit today with Chris and Mike some of those business factors that a lot of people go into it without actually having very much business acumen.
Yeah, and you know, they seem to come and go, restaurants. Some restaurants come and go a lot. And we asked our listeners earlier for some of their favorite restaurants that closed, and I'll share some of that with you later. But anyone?
You know, I do want to mention one thing a little bit, because I was running some numbers. And looking back from March of 2013 through this past month, February 2014, we have had 70 restaurants close. What's surprising, and this is what tells you that our scene is still quite vital, is that we had, by my count, 147 openings. So two restaurants did open for everyone that closed, but and those run the gamut in terms of bar, restaurant, even maybe a second location. But 70 restaurants, they did close.
And some closed quickly.
And some closed really quickly, yes.
Well, let's see. With us here is Chris Summers. He is a co-owner of the Pie Restaurants in Gringo, and Mike Randolph is the chef and owner of the Good Pie, which has just reopened, and Half and Half, and he has plans for a new one. So, why don't you start? Why don't you introduce us to Chris and Mike, and why you brought them? Why are these good spokesmen for this topic?
Sure. Well, let's start with Chris. I've known Chris actually for quite some time and been able, luckily, to cover Pie since it opened. And now it's, how many years old is the birthday today?
6 years old today.
6 years old. Chris currently has now 350 employees, and I think you told me you're going to have 500 by year's end. I also think Chris is one of the few restaurateurs in St. Louis who has expanded a concept born here in this city to other locations. So he has his pie he has five pie locations in St. Louis. He's got one in Washington, D.C., and now he's getting ready to open another one in Cincinnati. The other reason I wanted to talk a little bit about Chris, because I think marketing is a really important side of owning a restaurant. And Chris, I would say, is at the forefront in having used particularly social media. His marketing plan is really interesting. He's been an early adopter of technology, and I think Chris would agree that social media was, and also your food truck, the Pie food truck, was a really important way to get out, the word of what they did. So, Chris, he's really grown his business, he and his partner, and that's one reason. Number two, Chris does have, he has a completely different concept, and that is Gringo in the West End that opened. So you've got the restaurant, the pizzeria on one side, Mexican restaurant on the other. If you want to talk to Chris first,
well,
or we can
say a little bit about Mike first.
So Mike, let's say some nice things about Mike. So Mike has launched a total of four restaurant concepts. Two of them are still running, the Good Pie, Neapolitan Pizzeria, and Half and Half. The other two, he decided to let those go. Those were both evening concepts, restaurant in a restaurant. In Clayton, the first was a Mexican one called Medianoche. The second was Midwestern cuisine-focused Little Country Gentleman. He is opening another one, as you mentioned, Publico, a couple doors down. But what's curious, I think, about Mike is how he is attempted to do what he wants to do while also doing it in the right location and meeting the public's demand for the type of cuisine he wants to offer.
And Mike, let me ask you, in this new place, no stoves?
No stove. Well, the only stove is a wooden stove, a hearth, yeah. So
no conventional ovens and that sort of
no
thing.
Gas running to the kitchen at all. So we're going back to the roots.
Now, come on, does that really make a difference? Is that just a gimmick?
If you've ever had a steak kind of grilled on open wood or grilled on gas, I think there's a flavor difference, yeah. Hmm.
Well, let me ask you, Chris, when you talk about pie and expanding, are you franchising? Is that the wrong word?
No, they are all company-owned.
Company-owned. Yeah. But still, you're operating businesses that aren't in town. You can't fly down there to drop of a hat. Is that an issue for you or a concern? Or?
It definitely is, but revenue cures all. And so if you've been to or read about Washington, D.C., recently, it's a boom town, and so all restaurants do well there.
And the first time I heard about you, too, I think I'm right about my facts, because President Obama, I think, wasn't he just a candidate then?
Correct.
When he was in town, and he ate some of your pizza and liked it.
He did, and we've since fed him a few times, as well as the first family, so we've been very fortunate about that.
You brought along, you're celebrating your birthday at Pie, and you brought along a couple of birthday pizzas that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, our chef, Carrie McDowell, put together two, a deep and a thin pizza to celebrate our birthday, and we kind of turn Pie Day into a birthday week and do specials all week long, and these pizzas are two of those specials that we're doing. Back to Washington, it is a challenge, certainly, but we have people out there probably every other week from home, from corporate, if you will, and we've got a good team. It's our next locations will be in cities that are, you know, a half day's drive. So if you wake up at 7 a.m. and, you know, the place is burning down, you could be there by lunch. Or if you need to terminate somebody, a manager, you could be in there to cover the shift by lunch. So D.C. at 900 miles is a little bit further than comfort, but D.C. is such a special town that that's why we did it.
Well, I love pizza, and both you gentlemen are involved in that. And I was thinking, when I was a kid, I don't remember having a choice of pizzas. It seemed like all pizza was kind of the same. But, boy, that's different these days. Right, Mike? I mean, there are more kinds of pizzas and varieties than you can shake a stick at, which is a good thing.
That's a great thing. I could eat pizza 7 days of the week, and you could eat a different pizza every day, and that's fine.
I mean, just look, actually, where both of these guys have places that are in the loop on Del Mar, you know, within five blocks of each other. And so at one place at Pie, you can get a deep dish, and you turn around, and you can go to Good Pie and get a Neapolitan pizza.
Okay, so you brought these gentlemen here because they're obviously successful in what they do, and we're talking about, you know, what makes a good restaurant, what makes it last. And let me just share a couple of things that we asked our listeners for their favorite restaurants that have closed, and maybe you have some comments about that. Brenda told us she missed Duff's on Euclid. Mm-hmm. She said it was her Cheers. Great food, warm and wonderful staff. It was a family, and she misses it.
A lot of people miss Duff's, except for what I can tell Brenda is if she goes not too far away from Duff's to a new place called Natalie's, which is catty corner to the Cathedral Basilica, she will find the same chef from Duff's is there, and many of those Duff's dishes live on.
And Sherry wrote in to tell us that her favorite was La Tropicana in South City. And she talks about how it was a Cuban restaurant, and she doesn't know why it left or anything, but she misses it.
Yeah, I think there was some family sicknesses or illness in that case. Yeah, a lot of people did like Tropicana, also its food, as well as it was a market. That is a sad loss.
Well, yeah, you mentioned like a family reason like that. Anything can happen that might make a restaurant close. But let me ask our guests, Mike Randolph and Chris Summers, what are the really hard choices you've had to make in the restaurant business that – hard choices that maybe – choices you don't like making. Chris?
Well, letting anybody go is very tough because you recognize that, it is a family sometimes, and that's a paycheck. So the HR component of terminating people is tough, but at the same time, you can't keep doing something the same way and expect a different result if that person isn't working out or if there's a conflict of a personality or style. So the HR piece of that is
makes the human element. Right?
Yes, the human element.
Mike, what about you? What are you've had a lot of success, but I'm sure you've done things that haven't worked out the way you liked, and you've failed in your own mind. What are the telltale signs that when you're doing something, a concept or an idea that's failing? When does that hit you?
Well, I guess numbers never lie in a restaurant, So Closing Little Country Gentleman was the hardest thing I've ever done professionally, and one of the hardest things I've
because
ever
done. Because you love the place, didn't
because
you?
Because I love the place. But the thing about that restaurant was it was never put on paper to make money. It was put on paper to give me, you know, to give us an expression, to give us a chance to cook. And we could just never figure out a way to get enough people in there to make it work. So, you know, I would say, yeah, that decision, breaking up that team of people was one of the hardest things I've had to do.
Well, let me ask you both just a little bit about your background, because it's a big decision to open your own place. So how much experience do you have to have, or maybe I should ask you, how much experience did you have before you actually went out on your own? Chris?
Well, my story, I couldn't be from a more different background than Mike, in that I'm not a culinarian, I'm not a cook. He is a chef. So I had to surround myself with people who did know that piece of it. I think we did have an advantage in that I came from outside of the restaurant industry. I didn't bring a lot of bad habits with me. I also was able to bring some business acumen that is often lacking, as LaGaia said. But I my ignorance of certain pieces of the industry, I think, did help us because I was able to surround myself with people who knew it better than I did, and sometimes that's difficult for a lot of operators to do.
Mike, you are a chef, so that part is obvious. What advice would you give someone that was in a position where they wanted to open their own place? If you had to say, think of three things before you do it.
You just got to find a good front of the house. You know, if you're going to be, and I believe in chef-driven restaurants, but, you know, going to culinary school, running somebody else's kitchen, having those types of experiences, it's all great. But when you try to open a restaurant and understand the other part of it, unless you have somebody that's there to alleviate some of that pressure, it's going to do two things. It's going to take you out of the kitchen, and it's going to make you do something that you're really not that good at to start off with. So I would say the first couple years of the Good Pie were a really big learning experience, you know, putting the right pieces in place.
And Chris is more of a businessman as opposed to a chef. What would your advice be? Have deep pockets to start?
Well, definitely you're going to spend more money than you ever think you're going to spend. But I'm amazed at how many people, whether it's restaurants or any small business, who don't really – they're not realistic in their pro forma. They're not really realistic about how many guests are going to have to come in per day, at what price point, and what that's going to leave, you know, at the bottom for you, at the end of the day, what's going to be left for you. And it takes a lot of butts in seats, as they say, to really make a restaurant work. And you have to be more realistic. And I'm disappointed and saddened a lot of times when people don't really think it through, because it can be their nest egg, or it can be you know, a lifetime of trying to dig out if they don't consider all of that.
That's Chris Summers, co-owner of Pie Restaurants in Gringo. We're also talking with Mike Randolph of The Good Pie and Half and Half, and also LaGaia Figueres, executive editor of Sauce Magazine, is here. You're listening to St. Louis Public Radio. Let's go back and hear a couple of things that some of our listeners sent in about some of their favorite restaurants that closed. Let me throw out just a couple, and LaGaia, if you have any comments
sure.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara talks about Café de France.
Oh, yeah.
Which was originally downtown, and I think they moved to Clayton.
It was,
for a while.
And then it moved to Clayton. Actually, I think she might have a question about the chef owner, Marcel Caraval. So Café de France, then he went on, and he was, until a few years ago, for a couple of years, he was working at Chez Leon in Clayton. And that has also since closed, and that's where you can find now the Libertine in that location. To be honest, I don't know if Chef Caraval has retired or not.
And Cindy talks about Mosaic. I think that's been closed for a while.
No, maybe like a year. Yeah, it's our understanding that the primary owner moved to Australia, actually, to be near family. In fact, just yesterday, though, we did get word that the original Mosaic space downtown is being taken, is going to see new life, and it's going to be Michonne's Smokehouse, which used to be in Normandy. It went to Atlanta in 2003, and now that family's moving it back here, too. Well, they're going to keep the one in Atlanta open, but they're going to open again here in St. Louis downtown.
Mike, talk briefly about the new one you're going to open. I think you're redoing it. Was formerly a hair salon?
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be kind of when you walk in, kind of a very old-timey dark wood bar kind of feel. extensive cocktails, maybe one or two margaritas, but the emphasis is certainly going to be on whiskeys, mezcals, tequilas, things of that nature. I mean, we have tacos, but we're more focused on some interesting appetizers and a lot of roasted meats.
I was curious something about when you're talking about the beverages. I read something that you read. You said you're going to have tequila, but you weren't going to have, I'm not sure how you put it, 10 types of margaritas or something? What'd you mean by that?
Well, I think we'll have one margarita that's kind of done in advance that'll be good. I actually think, you know, Gringo's done a good job of proving that that's possible. And then aside from that, we'd like the barkeeper to be able to have his hands free to do some other stuff.
Right. I think it's actually curious just to note, too, that Publico, the Mexican place that Mike is opening, is just two doors down from the Good Pie. We're watching more, and actually Chris here, too, also has restaurants that are very proximate to one another. I mean, they're across the street from one another in the Central West End.
Yeah, and speaking of Gringo, Chris, you recently made some menu changes. Is that just part of the business? Do you have to reinvent the menu every once in a while? Does that always happen or not?
You hope you don't have to, but yeah, we had some changes, and we made some, you know, human changes, human capital changes, and brought in an incredible chef, Carrie McDowell, who oversees all of our kitchens and has just been done wonders for the culinary culture. Obviously, that I've mentioned that I don't bring. So we've got he's working alongside you know, all of our kitchen managers and really helping develop our teams and develop our menus.
When you decide that something's not working right, I would imagine that's got to be like an all-nighter. You stay up all, you know, when you're finally deciding to pull the plug on something. So when you see something that's, when you see that coming, what do you really think about before you make that final decision? And you don't want to jump the gun on that, do you?
No, you don't want to jump the gun. I mean, you think about the people, I think, you know, the people that when you close a restaurant, it affects.
That's something Chris brought up earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the first thing I thought of is, you know, where can I get these people jobs? What can I do? And
well, in conclusion, let me ask you the final question. Maybe it'd be best to come from you.
Sure.
A professional observer.
Okay.
Why do you think these two gentlemen have been so successful in what they do?
Because I think they recognize their own limitations. And if you think that you can do it all, that there's just no way. There are too many facets to handle. And when you trust the people who you work with and you pay attention to what's happening that you like, that I think that you can continue to move forward. But thinking that you know everything, I think that's a recipe for disaster.
That's Agaya Figueres, executive editor of Sauce Magazine. Mike Randolph from The Good Pie and Half and Half. And your new place, Mike, again?
Publico.
And when do you expect that to open?
Hopefully in the summer.
Great.
Yeah.
And Chris of Chris Sommers of Pie Restaurants and Gringo, continued success with all that you're doing with the expansion of Pie. And thanks for the pizza today, by the way.
My pleasure.
Good to talk to all of you, and we'll be back in another month for another segment of Sound Bites with Sauce Magazine.
That
thanks,
sounds
Agaya.
Good. Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Briefs, a festival of short plays. This is St. Louis Public Radio.